The Streets Ran Red by Paper Faith. Read by Rena Jenkins. Fandom, Greek mythology. With additional warnings for gore, death, mentions of rape and infanticide. Stories are distortions. Every retelling is a new version. Every changed word a new twist to the weaving. Clytemnestra has heard a dozen versions of her own tale, and not a single one the truth. Here is one version. She is young and fair, and Agamemnon and Menelaus come to Sparta in exile, and they fall for the queen's daughters. They fall for them and rob them in the dark, on ships, across an ocean, rob them and force their compliance with a simple promise. If you run, your sister dies. Clytemnestra does not love many things, but she does love her sister, and so she endures. And waits. Here is another version. Clytemnestra marries for love, with her sister smiling by her side, and her brothers approving the union. She gifts her husband with a son in their first year of marriage, and she never even hears the name of Agamemnon until his sword runs her beloved through, until his dagger slits her son's soft throat, and his hands find their way under her gown, taking what does not belong to him and never will. She screams at him in that version, screams and claws at his face until it scars, and he leaves her alone in her gilded cage for another night. She watches him leave, and slowly licks his blood from her fingers, taking strength from every drop. Here is something that happens either way. Iphigenia, going off to her wedding and never returning, sacrificed on the altar of good winds and rich kings' greed for war and treasure. Her firstborn daughter, her second firstborn child, taken from her. To save your sister, Agamemnon tries to justify. My sister has only ever needed to be saved from your brother, she spits, and raises a hand to gouge out his eyes. He catches it, twists her wrist until she screams, and then leaves to make his war. She does not pray to the gods to strike him down, does not wish him storms instead of his good winds. Instead, she climbs to her feet and smooths out the folds of her gown, before going to find every single man her husband has ever slighted. So far, she has endured. She has waited. Now, she acts. Here is a possibility. When her husband and king returns after 10 years of war, she sets his lover on him and watches from the highest window in the palace as his blood stains the stairs red in tribute to her slain husband, her stolen son, her murdered daughter. As Agamemnon breathes his last, she laughs. Here is another possibility. When her husband and king returns after 10 years of war, she waits for him at the top of the palace stairs, a double-bladed axe in hand. And when he steps up to claim her, she cleaves his head in two in memory of her broken sister and her own rape, of 20 years of forced compliance with a threat of murder. "You should have killed us then," she whispers to his cooling corpse. "You should have killed us both." She spits in his face and returns to her lover, hands stained red and head held high. Here is what no one ever tells. Before she returns to her lover, she steps over her husband's cooling corpse and snarls at the soldiers ringing in a pregnant woman with eyes like glass. "Your name, child," she demands, and the woman cringes and answers, "Cassandra." She clutches her rounded belly and averts her gaze, seeing things Clytemnestra cannot. "Were you willing?" she asks, knowing before she speaks that Cassandra will say no. She could murder the proof of her husband's arrogance and faithlessness. She could eradicate the sons Cassandra might carry, each with half a claim to Clytemnestra's living children's throne. But they are the same, her and her reflection. The years between them bridged by a man who took what was not his to take. She offers the woman her blood-stained hand and says, "Welcome home, sister." Here is how the stories always end. Clytemnestra takes her vengeance on her husband, and her children, corrupted by their uncle's tales and their father's legend, take their vengeance in turn. Her lover dies like her first husband did, like half her children did. Cassandra's sons fall like broken dolls, and the seer herself throws herself in front of her queen's body, out of grief or loyalty. In the end, it does not matter. Clytemnestra dies too, by a sword, led by her own son's hand. His eyes burn the way her own did when she split Agamemnon in two. She dies with her hands clenched into claws and blood in her mouth. More importantly, she dies unbroken. When Hades himself greets her at the shores of the river Styx, she keeps her head held high and says, "He had to die. For all he did, he had to die." And the god of the underworld smiles at her and tells her, "All things do." Stories are distortions. Stories are lies. Truth lies in actions, and Clytemnestra does not regret a single one of hers. Make of that what you will. The end.